Bible, a great range of prophetic events are predicted. Initially, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come to the air, and when he does so, every believer in him will be caught away to meet him. The Bible says they'll be caught up to meet him in the air. Subsequent to that, he will come right to the earth, and he'll establish his kingdom in this world for 1,000 years. We call that the millennium, the 1,000-year rule of our Lord Jesus in the world. But between him coming to the air for his people and establishing his kingdom on the earth, there will be a period of time in this world that the Bible calls the tribulation. It's a 7-year period of time, and the Lord spoke much about it in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 24. During that time, there will be natural calamities and other great events on an unparalleled scale. 7 years of sorrow and tribulation and difficulty for this old world. Now, that day is still future, but future events do cast a shadow before them, and recent years have seen quite an upsurge of natural disasters and brutal happenings in this world. Communications nowadays are such that events transpiring thousands of miles away have an impact on the world at large, as images of disasters and atrocities are projected into living rooms all over the world. In recent times, there has been Hurricane Katrina 2005, an earthquake in Kashmir. In 2004, there were the great hurricanes in the Caribbean and Florida. Boxing Day 2004, the tsunami that devastated large areas of the Indian Ocean. And personally, I've seen results of some of these things. I visited a place called Gyumri in Armenia, where there was an earthquake in 1988, and the infrastructure of the place has never been restored. I've seen the effects of the tsunami in the land of Sri Lanka, and met people who lost their homes and who lost loved ones, and it's so sad to see the effects of these natural calamities. Of course, there have been man-made catastrophes as well. The most notorious was the 9/11 event, when so many thousands lost their lives. In our own district of Scotland, just a few years ago, a gunman entered a school, and there was terrible carnage as children and teacher were slaughtered, and so many are victims. And the fact that there are so many innocent victims caused some to question the existence of God altogether. I suppose one of the most notable of these is John Humphreys, one of the BBC's anchormen, and John Humphreys, I suppose, would describe himself as a failed atheist. What he has seen has prompted him to discount the existence of God, but he can't bring himself to altogether discount the existence of God. He's not a militant atheist like Richard Dawkins, but he would describe himself as an agnostic, and sometimes people are like him. What they have observed leaves in their minds a doubt about the existence of God. Now, has God abdicated? Is he there at all? How do all these calamities square with the concept of a God of love? Has God no power to intervene? Well, the Bible does tell us that people in the world do have their share of troubles. In the book of Job, Job himself said this: man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Now, Job knew all about it. He lost all his possessions and he lost all his family almost in one fell swoop on the same day. And so he knew what it was to experience the troubles of life. In fact, the Bible says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. When God created this world, conditions were idyllic, but the idyllic conditions of Eden were lost at the fall of man, when Adam deliberately disobeyed God and introduced sin into the human family. And of course, it didn't only affect humanity, it affected the whole of creation, and nature is red in tooth and claw because of the fall. This is illustrated even in an incident that took place in our own district not so long ago. A rare swallow, was discovered in the district. People reckoned it had lost its way in migration. And of course, all the bird watchers were called, and they had their binoculars trained on this swallow, when suddenly a sparrowhawk swooped, and that was the end of the swallow. And it kind of illustrates how nature, the whole of nature, is out of gear, when really there should be symphony and harmony in this old world. One thing I do want to make clear to you is that trouble in a person's life is not necessarily the direct consequence of their own sin or of God's intervention. I mentioned Job already. Job's friends concluded that his trials were because of personal sin in his life. One of his so-called friends, a man called Eliphaz, said, "Whoever perished being innocent?" He jumped to the conclusion that Job had brought his troubles upon himself. The disciples of the Lord Jesus had a similar kind of attitude. They came across a man one day who'd been born blind, and they asked the Lord, "Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And of course the Lord had to show that the blindness was not as a consequence of any personal sin in the man's life, nor yet in the lives of his parents. On another occasion, there were people who came to the Lord and told him about some Galilean folk who had experienced terrible brutality at the hands of Pontius Pilate, and again the inference was that these people must have been gross sinners for such a thing to happen. And then the Lord reminded them of another event. Some had been standing under a tower in Siloam in Jerusalem when suddenly the masonry cracked and crumbled and fell, and 18 lost their lives in that tragedy. Of course, that wasn't as a result of human brutality. There are problems in the world because of human brutality. The last century saw men like Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and Saddam, men who really were guilty of genocide, and human brutality has caused so much trouble in the world. But then sometimes the problems are as a result of human negligence, as in the case of that tower in Siloam. Obviously there was some problem in the construction of the thing. Human negligence was to blame. And you look back again to the last century, and many lost their lives in the Titanic. If only, the right number of boats, lifeboats, had been provided, everyone could have been saved. And then Chernobyl, another example of how human negligence created disaster. And that's how it is. God did not make us as robots. And so sometimes these things take place as a consequence of human negligence. I want to point out to you too that God did not always intervene in circumstances where his own servants were under pressure. For example, there's a story in the Bible about a man called Joseph, and his brothers hated him and they sold him into slavery, and then his master's wife slandered him. And as a result, Joseph was in prison for many years. God did not intervene then. There was a man in the Bible called Naboth, and a wicked king, Ahab, stole his vineyard, slew Naboth and stole his vineyard. God did not intervene then. The first Christian martyr was a man called Stephen. God did not intervene when he was being stoned. James, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus, well, King Herod put him to death by the edge of the sword, and Paul was a victim of the Emperor Nero, who hated Christianity. And so God did not intervene in these circumstances where his own people were involved. And sometimes we ask, well, why not? Does God not have the ability to intervene and to help? Well, he does, but really, we have no right to question God. The Bible says, "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" God is sovereign in his universe. He is not answerable to us at all. He is not under obligation to explain why he intervenes or why he does not intervene in any situation. And one thing I do want to get across is this: the tragedies of the world do not militate against the concept that God is a God of love, for God has proved his love for every one of us in a most remarkable way. The Bible teaches that every one of us were rebels. I've mentioned Adam's disobedience already, and every one of us have disobeyed God. We've broken his laws. The Bible calls that sin. And God's word has said, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God set a standard, and that standard was absolute perfection, and every one of us have fallen short of that standard. And yet, amazingly, God loved us, despite our rebellion, despite our unwillingness to bow to his authority. He loved us. He did not want us to perish eternally. He did not want us to experience the punishment for our sins in hell forever. He wanted every one of us to be rescued from that. And so, he sent his Son into the world. The Bible says the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. He was born as an infant at Bethlehem. His mother was the Virgin Mary. He lived in this life for over 30 years. And then at the end, the Bible says he was taken, and with wicked hands he was crucified, and he was slain. Please do not think that his death was a political assassination. And do remember, God did not intervene on that occasion. It was his own Son who was being spat upon. It was his own Son who was being scourged. It was his own Son who was being brutally beaten. It was his own Son who was being nailed to the cross. God did not intervene then. He permitted it all to take place because it was central to his great plan of salvation. And the Lord Jesus died on that cross, and the Bible explains the purpose for his death like this. Christ died for our sins. We've all got to face it. We were the guilty ones. We were the rebels. He was the sinless Son of God, and yet he took the place of those who were rebellious. He died for us upon that cross. And because he died and rose from the dead, God offers pardon and salvation to as many as will put their trust in him. The word of God says to us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now please do not think that salvation comes automatically. Please do not think that because the Lord Jesus has died and has been raised from the dead, there is a universal salvation provided. Let me put it this way, the offer of salvation is a universal offer. Everyone has the offer of being saved, but not everyone accepts the offer. It's important for you personally to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. He invites you, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But you've got to respond to that call. Not everyone does. When he was here on earth, he looked some folks straight in the eye one day and said this to them, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Is he having to say that to you? You will not come to me that you might have life? I'm asking you today to have a care for your soul. I'm asking you to realize that there is a God in heaven who cares for you. The Bible says so. He careth for you. Because he cared, he sent his Son. Because he cared, Christ died and rose again. Because he cared, God offers you salvation. So today respond to him and trust the Lord Jesus. Please, don't look around and see the catastrophes and all the problems and doubt. Is God there at all? He is there. And he loves you, and he wants to save you, but you must be willing to respond to him and trust his Son as your Lord and Saviour. Do it.